and welcome to episode number 20 of Unapologetically Overcoming. I'm your host, Jess Marie. My guest today is a certified life coach who works with the neurodiverse community. In this episode, she'll be sharing her journey with us and what led to her becoming a life coach. She also talks about some of the stigmas related to being neurodiverse. I hope you enjoy this episode.
All right. I would like to welcome my guest today. I'm going to let her introduce herself, tell us a little bit about who she is and what she does and all that fun stuff. So welcome to you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. My name's Teresa Minock. I am a certified life coach that works with the neurodiverse community. I am a neurodivergent individual myself, and I am a widow with four neurodivergent children. So as a family, we are a neurodiverse family. I'm a certified life coach. I was certified by the Life Coach School, which is the largest life coach school in the world. And then in addition, I have studied positive intelligence and NLP, which is all of the coaching practices that I kind of merged together to help support the neurodiverse community.
Awesome. So for those of our listeners who may not be familiar with what being neurodiverse is, can you explain a little bit about that to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to throw out words that you may or may not have heard of. Neurodivergent means it all has to do with the mind and the brain and how the brain is working within the body and in society. So it would be autism, OCD, ADHD, dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, Tourette's, anxiety. So there are neurodivergence that you're born with. You're born with this thing that is different in your brain. And sometimes it also has to do with a trauma that has happened in your life. And that trauma actually changed the way that your brain was working when it was born. And that would be like PTSD, anxiety, depression, bipolar, that sort of thing. So there's the type that you're born with and the type that happens sometime in your lifetime. A lot of people, either they know that they're neurodiverse because they have a diagnosis. And then there's people out there that are like, I don't know what neurodiversity is. And then I'll explain it to them and they'll say, oh, well, I am ADHD and I am dyslexic or I am OCD. I didn't know there was a word for it, you know? Yeah. And then there's a lot of people that are out there that have a lot of symptoms of being neurodivergent, but because of what they've lived in their lifetime, they were never diagnosed. So then they just feel like, growing up, I always felt like something wasn't quite right, or something was a little bit off, or people used to say things to me like, you're so weird, or you're really awkward, or I always felt like misplaced and like I didn't quite fit in. And those commonly would be people that are neurodivergent and they just don't know that they are.
So interesting, because I've obviously heard the term before, but when I hear it, I think of things like autism or ADHD. I don't think I ever realized that there were all those other things that it encompassed too. So that's really interesting. It's so broad and including like depression and anxiety and OCD and all those things. So how does the neurodiverse diagnosis, if you will, kind of correlate to your journey to becoming a life coach?
Well, I am neurodivergent myself. And what that looks like is I'm gifted. My IQ is 152. I am also dyslexic and possibly dysgraphic. I've never been diagnosed with dysgraphia because it wasn't a thing when I was a kid.
And what is that? Just for people who don't know what that is.
Yeah. So dyslexic is how the brain processes language, how it understands language and how it views and sees language. And dysgraphia is how you have thoughts in your head and how it is able to translate on picture or on paper, in picture, or in written form. Okay. So it's kind of like the opposite of dyslexia, but very similar. So the dyslexia is inputting information. Dysgraphia is putting the information out. Right.
Got it.
And then I also have ADHD. So for me growing up, it's like, I was always crazy smart. And when people talk to me, people would say, oh my gosh, you're so smart. And I would always catch on to things way faster than my peers, even a lot of adults. And I just had kind of an intuitive sense about me, and I could really see things through. It's like I could project into the future to be able to calculate what was going to happen next. And I always had this multidimensional thinking, but I really genuinely believed that something was fundamentally wrong with me. And I didn't feel like I fit in with my peers or society in general. And I had a really incredibly low self-esteem. The other thing that was really difficult for me is always feeling like I could never do anything right. I always felt like I was always very aware that I wasn't doing things right. And no matter how hard I tried, no matter what effort I put into it, I was always coming up short. And that really impacted the way I felt about myself and how I viewed the world. And it impacted a lot of relationships in my life, as well as my self-esteem and what I felt like I was and was not capable of. So then after my husband passed away, At that time, I was a studio owner. I did gyrotonic. I owned a couple of studios. I had a beautiful practice. I did Reiki and fitness. And my husband passed away, and I really had a very deep meditation and prayer and asked myself, what is next for me? What is this next chapter? And it immediately came back that I was supposed to, which I didn't understand at the time, but I was supposed to redesign my bedroom and I was supposed to redesign my office, that I would be working from home. Move forward a couple of months, I entered into a life coaching program and it just felt like it was the right fit for me. And then as I was going through time, I was coaching people. And time again, I just felt so passionate about coaching neurodivergent individuals because I could genuinely understand where they're coming from in life and all of the things that were holding them back and all of the things that they were struggling with, and so passionate to see how I could help them get to the next step, the next level, the deeper connections in themselves, see their self-esteem, see how I could come in there and help them find the belief in themselves, the self-love, and achieve all of their goals and realize it. And these are things that they never thought. They thought for sure that because they had this diagnosis, this is what they were stuck with, right? This is just who they are. And they never realized that a lot of what was holding them back was their own mind, not in the way of the neurodivergent, but how they felt and what they thought about being neurodivergent.
Yeah. And so much of that probably comes from outside and like what other people think about them and then how they feel as a result of the way people are reacting to them because of something that they don't have any control over. To kind of elaborate on that a little bit, what are some of the stigmas that you can think of that are related to being neurodivergent?
Yeah, so I actually just had a conversation about this earlier today. So beautiful. So people that are neurodivergent, but they're not telling other people that they are neurodivergent, they in general get told that they're wrong, they're lazy, they're weird, they're awkward, they just don't try, they just can't get their stuff together. So just so many things are put on them, right? And then there are people that say that they are neurodivergent. They talk to people about being neurodivergent. And then they're often blamed for things that they didn't do, or especially youth. A lot of times if something happens, say in a classroom or something, it's like that youth is the go-to blame it on kid, right? Mm-hmm. Or the go-to pick on that kid. But I think that the one main thing here is education. It's uh-huh. this beautiful key that I have found that across the board, when someone is neurodivergent, first of all, knowing and understanding what their neurodivergence is, and understanding how their brain culture works, and uh-huh. then educating the people around them what it is and what their gifts are to be able to play into their gifts, but then also how they can be supported. How do they need support by their community?
Yeah, that's so important, because the more people know about those things, the more, you know, not only do they understand, but they can help, you know, in ways that they wouldn't be able to had they not had all of that information. So that's really important. And I feel like you may have kind of answered this question in what you were just saying. But if there was one thing that you would want people to know about being neurodiverse, what would it be?
Find your gifts. Play to your strengths. So often people that are neurodivergent are focusing on what they can't do. Mm-hmm. And while there are definitely areas of support that we can put into place to help you, I think the most important thing is finding all of the gifts that you have, because yeah. 1 in 5 people are neurodivergent, whether they know it or not. 1 in 5 people are neurodivergent. And finding the gifts that you have in the way that your brain works, it literally works in a way that a neurotypical person cannot have access to. Mm-hmm. So being able to find that strength will ensure your success, right? Mm-hmm. The most famous people in all of history were all neurodivergent. We're talking about Newton. We're talking about Einstein, Emily Dickinson, Tesla, George Washington, George W. Bush. Yeah. Most of the most famous athletes are all neurodivergent in some way or another, whether it has to do with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, because most entrepreneurs and business owners are neurodivergent, right? It's because of the way our brain is able to work that a neurotypical cannot access, right? Yeah. So play to your strengths, and then ask for support when you need support. That's the most important thing, because yeah. your brain is able to do all these brilliant things. It also needs that extra support. So advocating for yourself, and, you know, hiring a life coach like myself is really important.
Yeah. That's such a great reminder, because in the beginning, when you were talking about how you were younger, like you always felt like there was something wrong because you were different, and being able to recognize that just because you're different doesn't make you wrong. Like there's so many, you have so many gifts and so many awesome things that you can offer yourself and other people. So I think that's such a great reminder to, you know, focus on that part of it instead of looking at it as a negative, because it really can be a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I was growing up, I have always been so sensitive. This is also very common with neurodivergent individuals. A lot of times people assume that a neurodivergent individual does not feel the same as a neurotypical. So neurotypical means regular mind, quote unquote. I say that very lightly, yeah. y'all. Yeah. Not to bring up controversy, but yeah. so it's very common that either we're too sensitive or we don't feel the same. That's actually uh-huh. very false. But one of the things I'll say is I have always been super incredibly sensitive my entire life. I feel so deeply about so many things, and I feel it inside my body as well as outside my body, right? So I can feel energy, but I also feel deep love, deep sadness, deeply. And so the thing that I asked myself is, how can I turn this into my greatest strength? So the thing that I was told was wrong with me my entire life, what I did to reframe that was ask myself, what can I do to make this my greatest strength?
Yeah. I love that so much. I really do. All right. So I always like to ask my guests if they have a favorite quote or inspirational message that they would like to share with the listeners. Do you have one?
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan of Brené Brown.
Yes.
And
love her quotes.
I know. And I have been listening to a lot of her books, and I'm currently listening to Daring Greatly right now. And one of the things that in my coaching practice with my clients, I notice a lot of shame. And I had a lot of shame when I was growing up. As I said, I felt like something was wrong with me. And neurodivergent individuals, time and time and time again, every session, we will talk about what they thought was wrong with them. That is, in essence, shame, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. The best way to combat shame is vulnerability. And so Brené Brown in Daring Greatly, I highly suggest you pick up the book, but she said the biggest way to combat shame is being vulnerable. And so I think that it's important to figure out who you are going to be vulnerable with and not, and what level of vulnerability. But I definitely think to find your community, find your people, and be vulnerable. And that helps you be able to release your gifts out into the world.
Yeah, I do. I know it's hard to be vulnerable, but there really is so much power and strength. And like after you're vulnerable, it's almost like a weight has lifted off of you. So it really is a powerful thing. So I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that one with us.
Yeah.
All right. So where can everyone find you as far as like social media, website, all that good stuff?
Yeah. So my name is Teresa, Theresa. Minnoch, Minnoch. You can find me on Facebook, Teresa Minnoch. And I'm actually literally in the works of rebranding all of my information. I was previously called the ND Mom and people couldn't find me. So I am now, in the next 24 hours, going to be the Neurodiverse Coach. If you just want to search on Facebook, The Neurodiverse Coach, or YouTube, I have a YouTube channel, The Neurodiverse Coach, and LinkedIn, The Neurodiverse Coach, or find me by name. I would love to have any of you on there.
Awesome. And I will make sure to include all of that information in the show notes for this episode. So thank you again for joining me today. I really did enjoy this conversation, and thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
I really enjoyed this conversation with Teresa. If you are part of the neurodivergent community or know someone who is, there was probably something you could take away from this episode. One thing that I truly hope you took away is that we're all different, and that's what makes us unique. Instead of being ashamed and trying to hide your differences, get vulnerable and really embrace your differences. Recognize the power that they have, and don't be afraid to share them with others. I'd like to thank Teresa again for joining me. All of her information is linked in the show notes for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. And remember, be kind to yourselves, be kind to each other, and be unapologetically you.